Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is The Passion According to St. Luke. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. They returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. The places are important. The Passion is always marked by the change in scenery and set. Now we have arrived at the place of the Skull. Not a happy, pleasant name, as Calvary sometimes sounds, but every bit as ugly as the word Golgotha implies. There's another place, even more specific than just on the cross, that Jesus is found today. He is between two criminals, one on his right and one on his left. It's not just the artist's idea. Now, we don't ask the question where very often. We've talked about why a lot and still will. We like to ask what is going on, what is happening, but not often where. That strange question was already there in the garden, right at the beginning. Our Lord comes in and walks in the cool of the day as he was accustomed, and he doesn't say, "What in the world have you done, Adam?" He says, "Where are you?" Adam's the one who's moved away. He's gone somewhere else. And that whole position and relationship has now been utterly changed. Where are you, Adam? Where is Jesus, though? Here Jesus is between two criminals. Here our God is numbered with transgressors. Here he is crowned and he is heralded, the King of the Jews. Here he is at his greatest hour. Here he is King of all. And what is it he says from his royal throne, a cross? He gives the royal declaration, the forgiveness of sins. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's what we've heard from the beginning in this passion. "You take to flight, I go to be sacrificed, but I do it for you." Here he is with sinners. And this should be of great comfort to us. It's true, there's a difference between the criminal on the left and the right. But the difference is not that one is a sinner and one is not. The difference is only that the Lord is pleased to be with sinners who acknowledge and fear their own sin. Because he is here not to crush or to destroy, but to give his promises, and now to bring them all to completion in his death. Here he is, bearing unjust condemnation to free them from just and deserved and eternal condemnation. So that is the question to ask today and this week. Where are you? Good question. Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. And like Adam and Eve, give up on all of the fig leaves and other paltry coverings that we think might cover that over and make it all right. The thieves on the cross should have known better than that. They were naked. But that is not the only question to ask. Far more important is this one. Where is Christ? And to see that he is innocent among sinners for them. To see that he is free among the dead, even as he rests in the tomb. To see that he is entering into his kingdom, which is a kingdom of grace, that he is declaring that he is the way for anyone, for all, into paradise again. And that's what puts this phrase and this song on our lips. "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him is salvation and life and resurrection from the dead. By him we are redeemed and set at liberty." Amen.